Good morning, everybody. So, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Bahar. Let's take a look at one of the mitzvahs, which appears right near the end of the Parsha. In fact, it's the second last Pasuk. Pasuk reads as follows: Le'isasu lochem alinim, which does not create images for Avodah Zarah, the pestle, the tzevel, the tzakim lochem, graven images, a monument, le'isakim lochem, should not set up for yourselves. And now the next stage of the Pasuk is what I want to focus on today. Ve'eben machkit, and a stone, the word makit is a little bit obscure. What exactly does it mean? Rashi on this pasuk says it means a covering stone, a stone which covers the floor, and it's put as flooring. Eben makit, a stone on the floor. One should not put in your land to bow down on it. So I'd like to look a little bit more closely at this prohibition. One should not put a stone to bow down on it, in your land. Look a little more closely at some of the background and some of the halachos of this mitzvah. So first of all, let's take a look. First step always at looking in Rashi on the pasuk. So one shouldn't put this stone in your land, lishtachavis olel, to bow down on it. Says Rashi, lishtachavis olel, to bow down on it, afilu l'shamayim. We're not talking about somebody who's serving Avodah Zarah. We're talking about somebody who bows down, does a lishtachavo with lishtachavo to shamayim in mind. It's the same shamayim. Explains Rashi further. The fish is Goliath Bragalaihi. And we are referring here to Ishtakalo, which is a full bowing down, to lie down one's full length on the ground, spreading out one's hands and legs. But Osro Tiro Nazlis came, and the prohibition here is to do this, Chutz Min HaMikdash, outside of the Beit HaMikdash. In fact, if we'll look in the Gemara of Megillah, which we'll read in 1 second, we'll see that this point is hinted at in the words of the Pasuk, Leisitnu Ba'artzechem. You should not do this in your land. What do we mean in your land? So sometimes the word Ba'artzechem means in Eretz Yisrael. Now we know that Chazal always had a way of looking at things, that it only makes sense to give it into a differentiation between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz when we deal with something which is what we call a mitzvah hatzaluah b'aretz, an agricultural type of mitzvah which is to do with the kedusha of the land, like trumas and maitras, those types of things we make a differentiation between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Over here, it did not appear to Chazal that there should be a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. And Chazal therefore explained Ba'aretzchem differently. Ba'aretzchem doesn't mean your land, Israel, as opposed to outside of the land of Israel, outside of the Eretz Yisrael. Rather, Ba'aretzchem means in your land, as opposed to in the holy places, in the places that are not designated for you, that are not your land, i.e. as opposed to the Beit HaMikdash. So, we come out in a halacha that this stone, one can bow on a stone in the Beit HaMikdash, but one cannot put such a stone and bow upon it outside of the Beit HaMikdash. That's the meaning of the sit in the Ba'aretzchem, you not put it in your land, i.e. places outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Let's just read that in the Gemara inside. The Tanya, he learns in the writer, the Eben Maskis Leisitnu Ba'artzachem Nishtacha Vezalel, Alel Yatam Nishtacha Vezalel, you cannot bow down upon it Ba'artzachem in your land, Avo Atam Nishtacha Vezalel, but you may guys bow down, Ala Honim Shal Beis HaMikdash, on the stones of Beis HaMikdash.
This Nishtacha Vezalel is really, it's a frustration. It's not.
Yeah, frustrated is the right word.
It's not by that.
It's not about that. Yeah,
not
right,
by no. It's fine. Your face.
Frustrated is the right word in English, right? Frustrated means completely flat on it. Flat on it. Flat on it.
Currently is bowing down.
Currently is bowing down. Yeah, you're right. So now let's look a little at what we might call the Talmud HaMitzvah. We know that Rishonim often give us some background reason for the mitzvah, and although we can't always understand fully the reasoning of a mitzvah, but Rishonim give us some indication of this mitzvah is about. What's the reason for this mitzvah? There seem to be three distinct approaches in the Rishonim. What lies behind this mitzvah? What's the nature of it? What's the reason of it? Rashi on the Gemara in Megillah says the following words: like Osro Torah of Apostle Zeh, prohibition in this pasuk is only Elosh Lo Yasu Witzkas Avonim Beis HaKnesses, not to have a stone floor for bowing upon and prostrating upon in a shul, Dugmat Shal Mikdash, similar to the Beis HaMikdash. Although the Rashi is not 100% open, but the taste Rashi gives us, the implication is, and what lies behind this mitzvah is this is the type of mitzvah which is forbidding us, prohibiting us, from doing outside of the Beis HaMikdash, similar to what is done in the Beis HaMikdash. We know we have that in a number of areas, but not allowed to create kelim, which are similar in a certain sense to the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. I cannot create ketores, which is the same as the Beis HaMikdash. So similarly, one doesn't do it out of the Beis HaMikdash, this type of procedure of putting a stone and prostrating upon it, which is a service done in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's reserved, a special service only for Beis HaMikdash, which isn't to be done outside the Beis HaMikdash.
If the problem is starving or being in the building, or the problem is the prostrating on the stone?
Very good child. So actually, definitely the accepted normal approach is that the prohibition is actually the bowing down, not the placing of the stone to bow down. Nevertheless, I would mention, in parentheses, that the implication of this rashi is actually that there's a prohibition in the making of it. That's why he brought it up. And even the pasuk itself is open to a bit of discussion. Because the pasuk says, Lo yisitnu ba'artzehem le'ishtachavos. So is it the astir of the heaven which is a problem? Or is it the ishtachavos which is a problem? Now, in a practical sense, certainly the opinion, the approach which reaches way more to halakha is that the prohibition is actually the prostration, and the meaning of the pasuk is don't put it too prostrate, i.e., don't do the prostration, and they point to other places in the Torah where we find this type of terminology, and it means the final aim, which is the prohibition. Okay. So that's the approach of Rashi and Nitzan. A prohibition based upon not imitating what's done in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says something different. Let's have a look in the Rambam. Even Matkit Ha'amura Batur, this Even, which is described in the Torah, even though one prostrates to Shomayim, look, there is Malkus, it is a prohibition, Shenemar, the Even Matkit, Leitzitnu Ba'arzachem, Leishtacha Ve'Sena, do not place this stone to prostrate. And now the Rambam, why? Because this was the way of the idolaters. Because this was the manner of the Ojek Kohen in that time, to place a particular stone and use it for prostrating a bomb, therefore, in Ojek Kohen Lashem, because it's not fitting to take these services of the Avodah Zarah and do them to Shamayim. So we do not want to imitate the ways of the Ode Avodah Zarah. That's the Rambam. The Sefer HaChinuch says, in a way similar to the Rambam, but it's a little twist, it's a variation on the idea of the Rambam. The Rambam says, because it's not fitting to take the Avodahs of Avodah Zarah and serve them, use them in the service of Shammai. That's the Rambam. The Sefer HaChinuch says it's slightly different. That the Tam is not because it's an imitation of the Ode Avodah Zarah, but rather because there is a concern of a type of maris ayin. People might think, it might appear to people that you are serving Avodah Zarah. In fact, he says that people might think that you're making the stone itself into an Avodah Zarah. He explains that a stone, which is something which is, it lasts, it's very solid, not like other things which wear out very easily, has a certain representation of power, and it would have been usual to use such a thing as an Avodah Zarah. And when one bows down on the stone, or prostrates oneself on the stone, it might appear to people that you are worshipping the stone. So in order not to give the appearance of worshipping the stone, this is prohibited. So that is a slight variation on the Rambam. It's also an Avodah Zarah type of prohibition. The Rambam is saying, because this was done in service of Avodah Zarah, so don't do it to Shemayim. They say, Tachinosh is saying, because it might appear to people as though you are worshipping the stone. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, let's take this one page further. He says, according to me, says the Sefer HaChinuch, we understand very well why in the Beit HaMikdash this type of activity is permitted. If the whole prohibition is due to the fact that people might think that you are worshipping the stone, well, that's all very well somewhere else. But in the area of the Beit HaMikdash itself, well, who's going to think you're worshipping the stone? I mean, who goes to, you go to the Beit HaMikdash to worship the stone? You want to worship the stone, you go somewhere else to worship the stone. It's obvious that in the compound of the Beit HaMikdash, people come there to serve Shammai. So there's no prohibition. That's exactly why there's no prohibition to do this in the Beit HaMikdash.
The Duke is that indeed there was a special stone or stones in the Mikdash for doing that.
Well, there were certain places in the Mikdash which were sort of dedicated or marked out for Ishtakabal, yeah?
Because that's what we're talking about. It's okay to have a special stone there in the base of Mikdash for steel.
Yeah.
I just have never come across where
that is. Well, we could buy that. Not so much that the stone is dedicated, but we could buy that in the say that there's a particular spot in the base of Mikdash, but this is a place to do Ishtakabal. So you do have a spot, but this is a spot for Ishtakabal. That's it.
And you keep your own place anyway, that's all. Everywhere.
So, yeah, people are doing Ishtakabal wherever they could be. But let's say they're planning in their fixed Avoidah. So there's particular places where this is a place for Ishtakabal. Now, continues the same like Hinoch. He says, this is where it will come out a slight difference between me and the Rambam. The Rambam says, don't do this because this is what was done in the service of Avodah Zarah. Well, says the same like Hinoch, according to the Rambam, I don't understand why in the Beit HaMikdash is it mutter? Why suddenly does it become permitted in the Beit HaMikdash? That's difficult to understand, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Well, because it's done in the worship of Avodah Zarah, so maybe all the mutter goes do it in the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah. Is that nice? To bring things that are done in the service of Avodah Zarah into the Beit HaMikdash. Is that the reason? But according to me, says the Sefer HaChinuch, since it is not because it's done in the worship of Avodah Zarah, but because people might think that you are worshipping Avodah Zarah. That is more readily understood than in the Beit HaMikdash, there is no issue. Okay, I'll put it. Let's just summarize where this is taken us to, and we'll see what ramifications it might have in the halacha. We have the approach of Rashi, that this prohibition is a prohibition of not imitating what was done in the Beit HaMikdash, not to do outside of the Beit HaMikdash things that are done in the Beit HaMikdash. And Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch who learn that it is an Avodah Zarah related prohibition, each one in a slightly different way. Rambam, because it was always done in the service of Avodah Zarah, and Sefer HaChinuch, because people might think that now you are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Comes along the Mishnah HaChinuch, and he says a fascinating story. He brings from the Sefer Mishnah HaChinuch, he says, what will be the thing in a situation of Yehoreg Ba'al Yad? Imagine we'll have such a situation. A guy comes along, he threatens a Jew, and says, well, you bow down on this stone, I know it's prohibited in your Torah, bow down on this stone, to Shomayim, not Torah is Zorah, to Shomayim, otherwise I'm going to kill. Could there be any thought that this prohibition might be Yehoreg Ba'al Yad, something for which one has to give up one's life and not transgress? So you'll ask me, well, why should that be? There's only the Shomayim Hamuris.
But you've got to think that what he's doing is an act of Avodah Zarah.
So I said, it will go with the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch that this is an Avodah Zarah type prohibition. So then, this will bring us to the opinion of some Rishonim and some Poskim who maintain that anything which is within the realm of Avodah Zarah activity, even if it's not mamash Avodah Zarah, what we call Abizrai with Avodah Zarah, the side issues related to Avodah Zarah, are all included in the halacha that Yehoreg Ba'al Yad, even the Abizrai with Avodah Zarah, the side activities of Avodah Zarah, are all included in the Amari Bar-Yavar. So according to those opinions, we could maybe posit that according to Rabban and Sefer Chinuch, this issue would be a Amari Bar-Yavar. Mash Enkin, according to Rashi, if we'll go back to Rashi's understanding, that this is absolutely nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It's simply not to imitate what's done in the Beit HaMikdash. That's not Avodah Zarah related in any way. So we'll go back to the regular klal that there's no Yehoreh Baal Yavah. Bottom line, as you say, that says in Mishnah Chinuch, as far as this issue is concerned, we don't find written in any Pesukim that it's Yehoreh Baal Yavah, and we don't have the sort of shoulders to be Mechadish such a thing. It's just it's a tzav for discussion. Now let's turn a little bit to the halakha of this mitzvah as they may relate to us today. The Gemara says in Megillah the following thing: the Amar Ula, top of the second side, the Osra Torah and the Ritzpah Shal Avonim Bogah. Now one thing, not any flaw, so to speak, is included in this prohibition. The prohibition is only a stone flaw. So the Torah prohibition is only a stone flaw. That's one point. And secondly, Lo Osra Torah and Apishut Yodayim Bradlai Bilbat. The Torah prohibition is only full prostration. So in order to transgress the law, it would only be if both of these two conditions are fulfilled. A, it is a stone, and B, the person prostrated himself fully. Then, if one does this, even Lashamayim, one transgresses this prohibition, and then Matzkis lay sitting about and the Shtah of Yisrael. These two conditions are needed for the Dari Rashi.
Are we doing anything that Pisha can ever die?
No. So now let's take a look at how this comes out, La'alok. Let's look at the, pretty part of the introduction of the Mishnah Berurah to this Indian. The Kotzul HaPoisim, the Poisim Rat. The aim also min HaTorah, ki im kishayesh tauti ligrins. And it is only forbidden min HaTorah when one has these two points that we saw now in the Gemara, the hainu kishemish hachadeh bepishet yodayim raglayim, the gav al ritpas avonim daf, when one prostrates and it is on stone. Abo derech, kino. When one does something which is called kiva, now kiva, that is what we do on
bowing.
Rosh Hashanah, kiva, bowing, but not just bowing with your knees, bowing with your face to the floor. The ayu, shen loyfel al afov al harizma. One bows down to the floor with one's face on the floor. Beloi, pishut yodayim raglayim, without doing pishut yodayim raglayim, without full prostration. So when one does that, this activity of kiddo, bowing down without full prostration, on a stone floor. Or option two, in the pishut yodayim raglayim, one does spread out one's hands and feet in full prostration. But shaloya ritzpas avonim, not on a stone floor, also rak b'divrei sofrim. Then it is a prohibition with the rabbon. The God through kiddo also is tachavoyo. The chachomim forbade kiddo that one should not come to his tachavoyo. And they forbade shaloya ritzpas when it's not on a stone floor, also ritzpas that one should not come to do it on a stone floor. If one had neither of the two the Eraisa problems, the Ayu Derech Kino is not full prostration, below it's first of all, there's also no stone floor, like Osu Rabbon, then there's no Gizeh. So again, let's just summarize. There are the two conditions that make it the Eraisa, which are full prostration and a stone floor. If one had one of the two conditions, either it's full prostration but it's not on a stone floor, it's on a wooden flooring or a rug or anything else, or it's not full prostration, it's just bowing down with one's face to the floor, but it's not on a stone floor. I'm sorry, but it's on a stone floor, so you have one of the two Torah conditions. Those things are also midrabot. Final point If one has neither of the two conditions, is not full prostration and is not a stone floor, then the Ikar Adin, it is permitted. So now I'm coming to what we do on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So this idea of putting something on the floor in order to be matzik is mentioned already in the Ramah. And the Ramah says that when we bow down on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, one should put there some other layer, he says, a solving grass, herbs, we bring it, a towel, a rug, a bag. This is the minhag. Now, based on what we've said, we can understand this in truth, me'ikar adin, this is only needed if you have a stone floor. So, what we are doing on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not full prostration, it's kilah. So, there's only this is Rabbanon. When is that this is Rabbanon? When one of the derisa conditions is fulfilled, which would be if there would be a stone floor. So, if there's a stone floor, then there's an Isra Rabbanon, and you need this other layer of covering, me'ikar hadin. What is a stone floor?
A very difficult kind of floor.
I don't know exactly what you call this floor, what it's made out of. What is it made of?
Vinyl.
So it could be the me'ikar hadin, you don't need it. Now what about the types of tiling, which is common in more, when we have, Mr. Shem, when we have our permanent building, then we won't have this type of floor, we'll have tiling. I don't know anything about how the tiles are made. I only know what I've seen in the Sifrei Halacha, who say that they're made out of small stones, and one should consider it like a stone floor. One should consider it like a stone floor. And therefore it would be an Yisrael Rabbanon, and what requires Me'ikar Adin, this kind. Let's just add something else, that the Mate Ephraim recalls that the Minhag Yisrael is to use another layer of covering regardless. I think this is probably what we've seen in all the schools where we've been on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Whatever type of floor it is, if it's carpet, if it's this, if it's that, people bring a covering. And this is so as not to get confused in these different halachas, in different situations, different scenarios, where one bows down in this fashion, with knees and face to the floor, you put another layer of covering, regardless what the floor might or might not be made of. And there could be another line of discussion why you might need it as well, because there are some posting well, coaches, and maybe there's a stone somewhere underneath, and maybe that presents a problem that needs further discussion. So that's our logic as we have. One of those two conditions makes a Nisra Rabbanon, none of those conditions may Ikar Adin Mutter, and the minhag is to put a covering always. I'd just like to finish off with one beautiful thought that I saw quoted with this whole inyan. We'll recall that we put our mind back a long way to Parshas Chayei Sarah. We have the story of Eliezer Eved Avram, who travels off to Choron to find a wife for Yitzchak. And you might recall, there's a lot of Hishtahavah going on over there. Vayishtahu la'ashem, Vayishtahu arutza la'ashem. The Meshech Chochma points out a fascinating deal in the psukim. Earlier on in the story, when Eliezer meets with Rivka outdoors next to the well, it's written by Ishtaku Lashem. He bows down and prostrates Lashem. Again, when he meets again with Rivka's parents, at home, it's written by Ishtaku Arutza Lashem. What is it? Says Meshech Chochma, what lies behind this duke? Why in the earlier place is written just by Ishtaku Lashem, bows down to Lashem? In the later place, it's written by Yishtaku Arutza. He bows down on the ground, La'ashem. Says the Meshech Chochma, beautiful. Based on everything we've learned, and the Eliezer Eved Avraham, Doyle Umashke Betoras Rabbi, who learned the Torah from Avraham Avinu, surely followed and kept the dinim of the Torah. So he says earlier on, when he's next to the well, he's outdoors. Outdoors, it could be their avodi. So there's no Ishtaku Lashem. But Ishtaku Arutza Lashem. He doesn't bow down on the ground. He just bows down. He has some sort of covering. Maybe it doesn't mean full prostration over there. It's just Ishtaku Lashem. Only afterwards, when he came inside the house, where there's a floor, some sort of fixed flooring covering the stones, then by Yishtachlu Arutzon Hashem. Okay, that's the book. We'll finish off with that. Wish you all a good day.